Welcome back to another episode of Here's the Thing Podcast. I am Mark Cotton.
And I am Brianna Janelle.
And today we have a special guest with us.
Yes, she is a gifted teacher, a dynamic leader in any situation you put her in, okay? She is a wealth of knowledge and power. And our personal friend, we'd like to introduce Miss Ashley Lowe.
Hey, guys. I'm good, so excited morning. To be on the pod this morning.
Welcome yeah. to the pod. How are you?
I'm good.
It took you a while to get here.
I mean.
But we're here. Yeah.
We are here. I say, so let some of the people know who you are, what you're about before we get popping.
Okay. If I had to say at the foundation of who I am, I would consider myself to be a people gardener.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on my Insta bio and everything.
I love that.
I am a people gardener. Like, my whole life. So when people ask, like, what do you like to do? Anything that helps people grow.
Okay.
Like, I don't have, like, cool hobbies like I'm an expert bowler or something.
You know I love to bowl. They don't know that. I'm a bowler. I'm about to say this, so, like, I love to bowl.
Yeah.
But like, building courses for stuff. I know that sounds like, Ashley, that sounds like work. But I love that.
And we love that you love that. That's actually what we're going to kind of get into today.
And I'm here for that.
Yeah, today we're going to be like helping and speaking to teachers and the teaching dynamic within churches and stuff. But we know that teaching is a skill set that goes far beyond the church. Mm-hmm. I'm about to say, so when it comes to teaching, what made you get into teaching? Like, you know, what makes teaching fun for you? What makes you want to teach teachers? Like, you know, talk about that.
Okay, so from being like a little kid, I know that this sounds like, how did you know you were a teacher as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wanted to be a teacher as a kid. But then, you know, you get older, and then I wanted to be Eddie Murphy from Boomerang. And so I got my degree in marketing. But like, my first job out of college, it was like one of those like a desperation job. It's like, I got a job for you. You want it? Of course I want that job.
Yes,
I just graduated. Put me in coach.
Give me some money.
And what I ended up doing, they brought me in to master this system and then go around the country and teach people how to use it as a part of this rollout. And I discovered, man, I love this.
Oh.
And so I went from doing that to being a part of an organizational development team. And so helping people solve their people problems as part of organization. So it's like, part of being a people gardener is growing the people, and part of it is helping them build their organizations. And so just over time, I found that this is my sweet spot, right? I've always had a knack for taking this idea and then like crumbling it, making it digestible, feed it back out. And it gave me an opportunity to do that. I ended up getting into instructional design because it helped me marry my love for teaching people things with making things pretty, because, you know, I love art. And so like, it gave me a creative outlet, and I guess the rest is just history. Like, this is just where we've been for a minute, and I love it here.
Wow. So you would be considered, I'm about to say, this is something that she taught me, so I feel pretty good to say this. But you would be a subject matter expert in teaching.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Okay. So like, so when it comes to the church, and we're going to dive right in, because I think that there is something that people need to understand when it comes to the teaching dynamic, especially within the religious aspect. Mm-hmm. So there's a particular scripture in the Bible that scares me often. I'm about to say, it's one of the scariest scriptures that I think I've ever read. Mm-hmm. It is, be careful to call yourselves teachers, knowing that you will be dealt with more harshly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's an approach that God is expecting us to have when it comes to teaching.
Yeah.
However, I think, especially within church culture, like, we don't want to be taught.
Yep.
Like, you know, a lot of times we rely on our anointing, on our gifting to carry the message that God has given us to give to people.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, like, what is the importance, in your opinion, for teachers to be taught and to be students?
I feel like if you cannot adequately position yourself as a student, how can you handle students?
Mm-hmm.
Period. It's kind of like, okay, circling back to the scripture that you just named. The whole idea of you'll be dealt with more harshly is, it's kind of rooted in, like, what do people say? Like, you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to be careful, because the whole idea of being a teacher is you're inspiring something in a person. Like, knowledge isn't just for knowledge's sake. When you are learning things, adult learners, now to get a little nerdy.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay.
We're really nerdy today. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. Okay. So like, when you're dealing with adult learners, right? When you deal with kids, kids are like little sponges. You can teach them anything and they don't have any point of reference. They just absorb the information, right? But when you're dealing with adult learners, the way that you capture them and pull them in is you have to teach them something that's going to mean something in their real life.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
When you think about your best educational experience, 9 times out of 10, that teacher was number one, an expert in what they taught. Number two, they inspired you to learn something outside of them. Mm-hmm. And number three, they were relatable. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay. I'm following you.
And it's because teachers are intended to inspire something in you. They're not just trying to help you understand. So like, we've had this conversation about there's a difference between the gift of teaching or having a passion for teaching or being... I'm almost afraid to like dive into the office of a teacher.
You should.
Yeah, but let's get into it because I was going to ask that.
Okay, so yeah. There are some distinct differences here. So like when you have somebody who has a passion for teaching, 9 times out of 10, that thing that they're ready to teach you about is something they're passionate about, mm-hmm. right? Okay. They're so passionate about it that they have this little fire that says, I want to make other people excited about this thing.
Yes.
Right? I have a passion for teaching because whatever it is that I'm teaching you about, I'm excited to watch your light bulb turn on, mm-hmm. right? Okay. There's something there. Now, people who are gifted for teaching, they have all those same characteristics as the passion person, yeah. the person who has a passion for teaching, because for you to exercise this gift, God is not wasteful.
He's right? going to make sure.
So he didn't just drop stuff like talents and skills on the inside of you without you being a, like, he's not going to not marry that with the passion to go use it because okay. he's not wasteful.
Right.
So they'll have all the same stuff that a person who has a passion for teaching has, but also they have this knack for, okay, I understand that big idea. Mm-hmm. Let me make that big idea understandable for someone else. I don't care. I don't just care to make you excited for it or understand it. I want to make sure that you really grasp yes. this material. When you walk away from me, can you speak to that thing? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
When you walk away from me, can you speak to that thing? Okay. When you're dealing with somebody who God anointed them to be a teacher, mm-hmm. like teaching ministry, not just teaching yes. ministry yeah. is what he created that person for, mm-hmm. which I'm sure many of us would just be like the office of a teacher.
Yes.
Right. They have all of that that the person who has a gift for teaching has. They have all of that that the person who has a passion for teaching has. But on top of those things, they'll inspire something inside you that when you mm-hmm. walk away, you don't just understand it when you walk away from them. You want to go find out more.
Yeah. Mm.
And there's a reason why teaching is a ministry, because it's to prepare you Come for on. What God called you to do.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? Good. So when we go back to that scripture now, circling all the way back.
Yeah.
It makes sense that you would be judged more harshly, because if the idea here is I'm supposed to fan the flame that mm-hmm. God put on the inside of you, if I'm haphazard with that, you should be judging me more harshly.
Yeah.
Because teaching is not about me.
Come on.
At the end of the day, teaching helps me, because if Ooh. I can master this enough to teach it to you, mm-hmm. I'm also mastering this. I'm a student when I'm being a teacher.
To apply to my life.
Right. Yeah. But also, at the end of it, the end result of teaching is not for me to feel good about me. Mm-hmm. The end result of teaching is for you to understand what you need to understand so that you're prepared to go do what you got to do.
Come on.
So is there a difference between teaching and pastors? Like, because pastors teach too, right?
Yeah.
I'm about to say, so like, would there be a difference in your opinion between a teacher that teaches and a pastor that teaches?
Yeah.
Like, is it like one, like one is the passion and one is like the gifting? Like, would that be like a good correlation for those two?
I think you can be a pastor and be tasked with teaching people things and neither have the gift of teaching nor a passion for teaching. Mm. You're just being obedient to the thing that you've been asked to do. I think that's a very real possibility. Where this gets tricky is this, right? Like, you can be the best teacher, and if you're teaching people who don't want to learn, it means nothing.
That's
if that person is not receptive to what you're teaching, it means nothing. I could be the right teacher teaching the wrong topic to this person, and it still means nothing. Mm. I can be an expert in all things bowling, and if your passion is tennis, you don't care about what I'm talking about. Yeah. You just don't. Yeah. I could be a great teacher. I could be an excellent pastor and teach you about the things that don't matter to you. Mm. And then at that point, I could throw it. And if you don't catch it, that's on you.
Right.
Right? But the reality is, if you're a pastor and you are seeking the face of God, again, he is not wasteful. He's not going to give you a good word for deaf ears.
Yeah, that's good.
And it might even be that this might not be for that moment, but you don't know that, like, 2 weeks from now, that person's not going to need the word that you have for them right here.
That part.
Right? And so it's really, it's not so much about, is that person someone who should be teaching or not? It's, is that person they're teaching receptive to what Holy Spirit is saying, assuming that person is yielded?
Yeah.
So I think when it comes to, like, we're very specifically talking about teachers and pastors, I think when it comes to Fivefold, they all kind of, you'll see traces of each.
Yeah.
And woven the others, in between all of them.
Because all of it, the end game is the same. Mm-hmm. It's ministry. It's love. It's for the perfecting of God's people. So you'll see traces of these and all those other things. Like, so if you're a teacher, not a pastor, like you're a teacher, I could be an excellent teacher. I might be able to take this really grand idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. I can paint you this picture so that it's super clear.
Yeah.
But if you can tell that I don't have a pastor's heart for you, I don't have a heart that cares for you to do what you're supposed to do with it. If I don't care about you as a person, like, what do they say? People don't care about what you know until they know that you care.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so for you to be an effective teacher, like even when we just talked about, like when you deal with like really great educational experiences, that person's probably relatable.
Mm-hmm.
It primes your ears to be able to hear the things that they have to say.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's interesting, man. I'm about to say, did y'all have, and I shift here because I think that what you're saying is triggering like a lot of thoughts in my head of like good teachers I've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all have any favorite subjects because of a teacher? Like a favorite class that you took because of a teacher that
just
made the class like really cool.
I have one in college. I was taking, I can't think of the class now.
Mm. In college?
Yeah.
Chemistry, dance class.
No.
You went from chemistry to dance class.
I mean, I'm trying to think of the marketing.
First of all, you know
English.
I hate chemistry. I don't know. I just know that he was like talking about investing and compounding money and
investing class.
Yeah.
Yes. And he was like, he would jump up and down and was like, you invest this much and da da da, and this is how it compounds and all this other stuff. And I was like, you know what? Let me take these notes. Because he made me excited about it because he was excited about it.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I think I had in high school, I had a chemistry teacher that was just amazing. And I didn't understand chemistry to save my life. I think I might have passed with a C. Mm. But he was such a vibrant teacher. And he had songs for everything. Like, you
love
know,
that.
Like he wanted to make sure that the information stuck.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he did a great job. I just was not. Like, you know, making the information stick, I guess. But he
he did all he could do.
He did, really, I about to say, like, and he was just such a dope teacher because, like, you know, I remember the song that he had for the molar mass of one mole, which was, like, the equation for, like, you know, like, this base chemical thing. And it was just like, man, like, this makes everything easier to grasp and understand because, to your point, he had the passion and he inspired me to want to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that, what about you?
Yeah. I have subjects that I don't love, but I love that class because of that teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason I know anything about that.
Right, yeah.
Like, for example, when I was it was middle school, I had this history teacher who had like, I don't know how she came up with these really creative projects. Y'all, I'm gonna tell you the story. So we had to dress up like a historical figure.
Mm.
Right. And so my figure that I had to dress up as was Charlie Chaplin. You guys know who that is?
Wow.
Right.
Right.
I don't know why that was a thing, but because of the time we were studying, it's like he was a well-known figure, even if not an impactful one. So I tell my mom I got to be Charlie Chaplin, and we get me this like little like bowl hat or whatever, and I'm in this like tiny suit. And my girl, she takes her eyeliner and she draws me this mustache.
Oh, gosh.
I went to school and everybody thought I was Hitler. It was terrible.
Wasn't the same thing in the office?
Yes.
It was awful, but I loved that lady's class. I loved it. It didn't even matter that I was Hitler for a day.
That is hilarious.
It was wild.
Hitler for a day as well. Hitler
for a day is wild.
But I mean, I think that, like, you know, we can accredit good teaching to that favorite class that you've had growing up or whatever case it is. Unless you were just really good at math and you just like all math classes or whatever the subject was. I think teachers really do bear the responsibility to inspire students.
Exactly.
And I think even from the elementary side, and I know that you talk about like adult learners, but even elementary school teachers have such a heavy like task to inspire kids to want to keep learning for the remainder of their lives. Like, that's just really, that's really cool.
And it's one of those things where it's like, if you don't have that piece of it, you can turn somebody all the way off.
Yeah. Hmm.
Like, you guys see, I told you I wanted to be Eddie Murphy in Boomerang. So obviously that's why I chose marketing as my major.
Right.
I had this one professor who, I will not name that professor, but that one professor, he was awful to this day.
Mm.
My friends and I from college are like,
Wow.
About that one guy. And when I say I didn't learn anything in his class, and this literally was the major that I chose because I cared to actually learn this content.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just turned all the way off. I said, you know, that's not it.
Yeah.
So it really could flow either way.
Right.
That'll yeah. do it. Do you feel like when it comes to the church setting that it should be like a requirement to go to seminary?
Ooh.
So that you're not out here teaching the wrong things?
Because there are a lot of people that are out here teaching that have not been to seminary.
But they have the passion, or maybe even the gift, and, you know, a passion for God's word and all the things. And it's just, I don't know. Mm. Do you think that that's enough? Or is it just like kind of how I know we've talked about before, you feel like God gave you a mandate, so you just gonna do it?
So, personal Ashley theology.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't believe people need degrees for anything.
Okay.
Jesus did not have a degree.
Very true.
And in fact, he was correcting the people who were considered to be credible in the topics that he taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, if you're looking at Jesus as the ultimate
in
any ministry,
yeah.
you know, all fivefold comes from him. It's like, Jesus didn't have a degree.
Right.
And so immediately,
be like Jesus.
Immediately, I cannot say you need a degree. However, does it help to have a structured program that teaches you the information that you need to know and able to in order to be able to equip the people in what they need to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course that helps.
Yeah.
And so if somebody says, you know, I'm going to school for this thing, I'm going to go to seminary, I want to learn everything that I can learn and have all of these behind the scenes that people don't teach on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely not knocking it. Do I think it's absolutely necessary? If it was absolutely necessary, there are a lot of people who would not know the Lord.
Mm. That's real.
That's heavy.
And so I can't say yes, but I'm definitely not going to say no.
That's
you see
real.
What I'm saying? I think there's like some middle ground there because I can guarantee you each one of us has a topic that we know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody taught this to us in school. We were so passionate about it that we took the initiative to go and learn that thing.
Very
like,
true.
Very unrelated fun fact. I know a lot of stuff about orcas because I just love them. I have no reason to know anything
that's
about that.
So
it's my
random.
Favorite animal. But it's like when you find that thing that's, you're like, I'm really interested in that. Or like I had a phase where I needed to know everything there was to know about the Titanic.
Really?
Right? Like little kid Ashley, she was, whatever that topic was, I'm about to know everything there is.
Oh,
which
wow.
also, like, to me, that's the first mark of a teacher.
Mm.
Like, you are not a teacher if you're not first a student.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
You need to expound upon that. Because a lot of people don't want to learn anything, but they want to teach everything.
If you want to teach the things without learning the things, then your passion is not for teaching. Your passion is for spotlight.
Or control, yeah. Yeah.
Your passion is for spotlight?
Period. There's something that you're trying to affirm in yourself that you need to feel special because the attention is on you.
Mm.
Because if you don't care enough to learn about what you're teaching, you don't care enough for the people that you're teaching to understand what it is they need to know.
And that's dangerous.
It is.
Yeah.
It really, really, you're shaking. I need to know what you're thinking.
That's so rich where I think, in a lot of ways, teaching can become really perverted.
Yeah.
Because we have all these platforms. Unfortunately, we got social media and technology has really, like, you know, gave everybody a platform.
For real.
Everybody has an e-course out. Everybody has a 7-week course that you can take or whatever the case is. Everybody is considered a teacher. Even recently, the whole TikTok, what was it, the trend?
Tillman College or TikTok University or TikTok, whatever.
Right.
That's
we're on TikTok. If you were a SME on anything, like, you know, like whether it be
gardening,
it could be the simplest thing. It could be the most abstract thing. But if you were a subject matter expert on any of those topics, you were on TikTok asking people to, hey, buy this course, do this, do that, based off of a 30-second video that got my attention to say, hey, you know a little bit more about this subject than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go ahead and take your class. And then you take these classes, and all these people are not certified to teach. They don't know how to teach. They don't have good teaching tactics. And they're just not educated on that subject. But because social media has given everybody a platform, and likes and shares make you look more appealing than a college, university, or whatever, I feel like that's where you get a lot of people being able to pervert, like, you know, what teaching actually is. And that's why that spotlight thing, like, you know, meant so much to me, because I see that a lot.
Is it perversion or is it just people like sharing their passion? Like
both.
I can see it be both, but
yeah, I would say both. Because okay, and this is actually where I was about to respond. Yeah. Is you really have this both ways. Where we just talked about, you have people who have a passion for teaching, but they don't have the gift and they probably don't sit in the office. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Example. I'm in graduate school right now.
Okay.
Right? I am taking a class on testing and measurement. I pray my professor never see this video. Okay. Taking a class on testing and measurement. And he's one of those people, he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. I mean, brilliant. You can see it. Mm-hmm. And then when he starts talking, he's talking at 97 miles an hour because his brain is full and he's trying to dump it all out for you in 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. Goodness. He's also one of those people you can see there's like a whole bunch of tabs open in his brain. And so he's one of those people you really could learn a lot from being under him.
Yeah.
Like he said, all right, well, I'm conducting this study. You're like, yeah, put me in. I want to see, I want to watch you do all the things.
Yeah.
Right. He is not the best teacher. Mm. I have to watch these lessons over and over again and then go figure it out for myself and then come back and be like, okay, I think I have enough context to maybe sit through another round of this like academic
talking
beating.
At me. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Because he's great. He has a passion for that thing, mm-hmm. but he's not a good teacher. Now, if I have a passion for this thing, I care about it so much. I want you to know everything about it. But I know I'm not a good teacher. And you can't tell me he has not gotten evaluations where somebody said something. You can't tell me that.
But somebody says something.
If I know that I am not doing a good job of translating that in a way that's meaningful for you, is that also not an abuse?
Hmm.
To say, I'm going to make you sit through all of this knowledge because I care about it and I know you care about it, but I'm going to deliver it in a way that I know is not effective because it puts me in the spotlight.
And I think sometimes maybe they don't know that it's not effective.
Probably not.
Because they just know their learning style. I learned it this way, so you should be able to learn it this way too.
Probable.
You know? And so I know you're really passionate about, we kind of touched on it earlier, but like teaching the teacher, train the trainer.
Yeah.
Because that's important, right?
Agreed.
Some people have the passion, but they don't know how to deliver it. They don't know about the different learning styles and things like that.
True.
So can you kind of speak to what that might even can look like in a church setting? Because that's where you really don't see it. You have a calling, you get a stage.
Yeah, you're right.
You know?
You are really right about that.
That's a fact.
Okay, so okay, so like a second ago, using my professor as an example, right? And then I'm going to lead into ministry here in a second. Is if I know that I'm not delivering this in a way that's impactful for you, but I continue to do it, then I'm wrong. Because I knew better.
Yeah, okay.
I chose not to do better.
Okay.
Right? When it comes to church, a lot of people don't.
Right.
You're right. A lot of people are like, I have a passion for this thing. And there isn't something you're going to be more passionate about than Christ.
Yeah.
And not in a church setting. Like, that's the reason that you are here. Okay.
Yeah.
And so bringing that passion to the table for a lot of people feels like enough. Because your spiritual walk is a very emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's important for you to balance that with knowledge.
Yeah.
Right. But I think you're right. There is not enough teaching people how to be effective teachers because you have that. Because there are so many people who grew up in a church where there's like, I'm not knocking it. The hooping and hollering, that's for somebody.
Right.
It is. It's for somebody. It's not for me, but it's for somebody. Because you have that piece of this where it's like teachers inspire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that the educational piece of this, that part of it where I help you gain understanding, needs to be met with that emotional piece that says, here's the reason that you care. And I think where there becomes this off balance, that sets the stage for people to, I'm going to teach what makes you feel good, or I'm going to teach what makes me feel good and hope that it makes you feel good. But that educational piece goes lacking because nobody taught them that.
Right.
Now, so do I have a quick solution for this? No. I only have my sphere of influence, but in the sphere of influence I have, because there's a gap there.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I'm working on. And it's my hope that that's something that evolves in the church. Yeah. I think the other thing too, is like, there are a lot of churches where the person at the top, we ain't talking about my church, but there are a lot of churches where the person at the top might be an excellent teacher.
Yes.
And is good to equip the flock with, here's how you can best live your life. But not, how do I make this thing like a succession where I'm teaching other teachers how to equip the flock?
Where we're raising other teachers within the body.
And see, I think where there's like a real big gap there is in the same way where we talked about the whole idea of, if you're in the office of a teacher, is that you are equipping the saints. Because that's the whole point of Fivefold Ministries, to
For
equip
sure.
the saints.
For
right?
sure.
Is if this person should be equipping the other people. How do you know that the people that you're equipping are not teachers?
That's true.
And it's also, there's also the real possibility that I'm a great teacher in this topic, but I'm not a great teacher in teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need people who are like, their passion is for growing the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't know if I actually answered your question, but here we are.
No, because you touched on it. And I think what I'm hearing is there should be some type of maybe formal training for teachers.
It wouldn't be bad.
In the ministry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there should be. And I think that, like, you know, you would see a drastic impact on your house. Because we go to a house where teaching teachers is accepted. Like, we want this. I'm about to say, shameless plug here. Like, you know, it's our church. I'm about to say, you are one of the teachers that teaches teachers. I'm about to say, so I think the beautiful thing about that is that there's an accountability factor that goes into it, where it's like, hey, we want to make sure that we're placing you over a ministry.
Yeah.
Right.
That people are able to learn mm-hmm. under your tutelage.
Yep.
And I feel like there are times where in certain churches that I've been to where that's not the mindset of the house.
Because I've seen like places where there are things set up for, let's say, the gift of prophecy, where it's like, hey, let's help you steward this gift, mm-hmm. learn how to stretch yourself in this gift, yep. you know, all these different things. But with the gift of teaching, there's often not anything in place to help you hone that gift.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's important.
I think a lot of people treat teaching like you got it or you don't.
Like it's nothing that
can't be taught.
Or you can grow in or even learn how to, you know, utilize it, I guess, to the best of your ability.
Yeah. It's like very much so like, oh, you're a great speaker. I've seen people who are excellent at presenting, and then somebody somewhere decided that person's probably a good teacher, and then they weren't.
Yeah.
You know, but like how people say knowledge is power.
Yeah.
If I'm the person who, I'm not even saying gatekeeps knowledge, but I'm the access point for the knowledge that you need.
Mm-hmm.
There's a measure of influence here that if you don't have somebody who can teach you how to be an effective teacher,
mm-hmm.
it's one thing if you don't know that you're not an effective teacher.
Right.
But if you know that this is something that you need sharpening in, or even if you don't know that it's something you need sharpening, it's just something that you know you've been tasked to do in ministry, you should care enough that if you don't have somebody who can teach it to you, because what if I go to a house where there isn't somebody who can teach this to me?
True.
Right.
You know, like we're very privileged.
Yeah.
In that we have a lot of people who are well-versed in educating other educators.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful thing. But if I go to a house that, like, let's say I go to this little church out in the middle of the country,
mm-hmm.
and it's like all the people that are there, the people who've always been there. And,
you
know, that's just not what they're versed in.
Right.
It's on me. That's why we continue to circle back to teachers have to be students.
Mm-hmm.
The internet is real.
Very.
There is we live in a time where we have access to more knowledge than
so much.
I mean, to our detriment.
To our detriment. Yes, sure.
To our detriment. But if I need to know how to be an effective teacher, there are so many avenues that I could take.
True.
And I don't have to go to school for that.
True. True.
I could just be a student because this is what this. If I know that there's so much influence in this thing, this should be something that I want to go down a rabbit hole and learn all the things there is to know about it.
And something that, I mean, I kind of want to guide into this is I really like how you mentioned before in our previous conversations of you teaching from a place of overflow or how teachers should.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that kind of is like you delve into all of this knowledge so that you become so full to where you can just kind of pour out.
Because
what happens if you are pouring from an empty place? Do the teachings become surface? Are we doing a disservice to the people that we're teaching? It's okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, you know? All right. Speaking from personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We've talked a lot about that teaching is ministry.
Yes.
Right.
But some of that, in order for you to be effective in ministry and teaching, some of your lessons come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And when God teaches you lessons, it's not like I just read this on a webpage somewhere. You feel that.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like a Jamaican saying or my mom just says this, but she said, who feels it knows it.
Mm.
And so when it comes to teaching, where we've talked behind the scenes, like outside, off of the pod, about you teach from your overflow.
Yes.
who feels it knows it.
Yeah.
There have been times that I've taught a class and it's like I went through
it
that
makes
week.
All the difference.
I went through it. I was like, what are you doing, God? And I came into this class and in teaching the material, I was able to say, for example, this is what happened to me this week.
Yes.
And it wasn't just me presenting them with the knowledge. I've hit something in there.
You're pulling from real life examples.
Right. Yeah. The word of my testimony added something strong to what otherwise could have still been a very good lesson, but a less powerful one.
Mm. Now, and I hate to cut you off, but this brings me to another point that I want to kind of echo, but don't forget what you're going to say.
Okay.
Do you think it's a problem sometimes when teachers experience things and they teach things prematurely, though? Like, it's almost like, you know, like you haven't really learned the lesson from that thing yet. Yet and still, you're up teaching about it. Because you're going through it, but you haven't, like, you know, gotten to the end of whatever that thing is yet. And I see a lot of times where we see pastors bleeding on people because they haven't learned the lesson from what they're going through, but they're going to teach it anyway. And then you end up teaching it the wrong way because you don't know what the answer is because you haven't got there yet. Like, is there still a, what's the word I'm looking for? Is there still a... Come on, I feel like I'm from a teacher, and that's why I'm not, y'all like...
Okay, I'm sorry.
But do you feel like there should be a precaution for teachers that say, hey, I'm going through something, but before I dump what I've been through, let me make sure that I've sat with God and really understand the totality of what I've been through before I start teaching this thing?
For sure.
But I feel like there are times where we don't see that. We see people in real time going through stuff, and then that's what you want to teach. It's like, hey, maybe you should... finish going through that thing before you start to unpack that thing.
And I think there are times where both are appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why if you are teaching as a part of ministry, if it's ministry, you should be leaning on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, you should stay prayed up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why. Is okay. It's really this. It's a measure of maturity. When you look at teenagers are excited and they think they have enough experience for them to go do the things. They have all of the bravado of somebody with experience, but without the experience. Yeah. And I think when you're dealing with someone who's very excited to teach material, very excited to touch God's people in an appropriate way.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning. I'm excited about what I learned. I want to teach it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But also I've only learned half the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I don't know that there's really a way to avoid that except for to encourage people to stay yielded to the Holy Spirit. So he could say, don't say that yet.
Not yet.
That's good.
This ain't your moment. Because other than that, the heart is right.
Yes. Right.
The excitement is good.
Yeah.
You know, and I can have this flame and the flame could really warm people up. But if I'm reckless with the flame, it can do a lot of damage. Mm. Unfortunately, the flame is still necessary.
Yeah.
And so it's just a measure of maturity. And that's why you got to stay prayed up.
That's good.
That is good.
That's good. How do you feel about certain teaching styles? Like, you know, like what's your favorite teaching style? I'm about to say, because in the church, I think we see a lot of different teaching styles. Like, you know, we have the more demonstrative teachers. We have the lecture teachers. We have the, like, you know, parable teachers. And so, like, what would be one of your favorite teaching styles and why?
Mm.
And then one that you could do without.
Okay.
And why?
Okay. My favorite... is probably going, I think the most effective teaching is a blend. I'm giving this to you in a very structured way. So big idea.
Okay.
Sub ideas. Mm-hmm. I get to this sub idea. I probably either have a demo for you or a story for you. Mm-hmm. But each one of these ideas is going to have something.
Okay.
Even better if it's in a classroom setting, not from the pulpit, but in a classroom setting, if I can give you something to touch it yourself.
Yeah.
Some sort of activity to make it real for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? That's, to me, that's the most effective teaching. There's a concept called universal learning.
Yeah.
Right? So where we've all heard about, and again, nerdy moment.
Yeah.
Where we've all like talked about
auditory.
Somebody's an auditory learner or a visual learner or whatever. What we have since discovered is that these are learning preferences.
Mm-hmm.
No person has a learning style. They have preferences.
Mm-hmm.
But we all learn from all of these things. They teach something now called universal learning, which incorporates all of these things and focuses on the things that all the people have in common. So then that way everyone gets a learning experience that's effective, even if it's not all the way to their preference.
Yeah.
Okay. So the most effective learning style has all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
If I have to just choose one.
Yes.
Break it down for me in a way that I'm like, I need to see it very expository.
Okay.
Like, okay. Concept. Thought behind the concept. thought behind the concept. Next concept. Concept. Thought behind the concept. And for me, that's enough. I'll go find my own examples.
Okay.
I will find ways to make this work for me. But that's for me.
Yeah.
My least favorite type of teaching.
Yes.
My least favorite is a very exhorting type of teaching. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the right way to say this. But that the type of teaching that's like, I just got to get the people going. But you didn't actually present an idea.
I don't want to say this. The hype man teacher.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
It's the ones that got to breathe like heavy in between every seven words.
When I say I have immediately checked out, my brain has stopped.
I can't even receive anything you say.
But no, I mean, but I guess there's a time and place for those things, I'm about to say. Because there are people that, like, you know, can receive from those things.
For sure.
I'm about to say. So we're not saying that these are bad teaching.
Right.
I asked her personally what was her least favorite.
Exactly.
So she's not coming for nobody's Baptist
preacher. I'm not coming for anybody's.
I'm about to say, but I think that, like, you know, it's good to know what type of teacher that you, again, your preference of receiving from. Not, like, you know, all the way, because I had a teacher back home, which I thought he was phenomenal back in Virginia. And he was a good blend of he could give you the heavy doctrine, and then he could do a demonstration. And then with the demonstration, he can call you up, but I need five people to do this. And then, like, make the scriptures come alive in a moment.
Yeah.
And then be able to, like, explain. And then I went to a church, and I ain't going to drop his name either, but I went to a church where we had alliteration points. And that, it irked my nerves all the time. Like, it.
Give me an example.
Like, it was like, you know, like, he'll read a scripture and be like, so the first thing is they were surrounded. The second thing is they were ceramic. The third thing is, thing is that, like, you know, they were stranded. The fourth thing is that they were sound. I'm just like, oh, like, four S's. Wait, does ceramic start with an S?
No. Ceramic starts with a C. But it was the same sound. That was with you.
But that's what they do, though. And they think that you're going to miss it. But, like, it's like, oh, come on, guys. Like, you know, like, I see that you try. And then the backwards alliteration, there was precipitation. Then it was adaptation. Then it was condensation. I'm like,
condensation.
Like, you really, like read the scriptures and look for how can I plug in this alliteration. And I think that that's one of those things that gets the people going. Now, again, sound bites. And we're going to get into that. But, like, I would say this, like, he was still sound in his teaching. It was just something that always made me be like, you really tried. Like, you really, like, made this your plan, was to give me five alliteration points. And everybody's in amazement, like, oh, the four A's, the five A's, or the five C's, or whatever. Mm.
But that's, like, probably what made it stick for him.
Yeah.
And I mean, so he's just like, this helped me, so this is going to help y'all remember it.
And I think it definitely probably helped other people remember it as well. Like, you know, like, that idea of, like, all I got to do is remember five D words. Like, that's probably really effective. I'm not going to say, like, I didn't receive from those things, because I did. It just, me in my production mind, I just couldn't get over the fact that, like, man, you really try to make this fit. Like, there'll be sometimes where he'll choose words that ain't even really there. Yeah. Like, you really tried to make this word fit. Like, oh, over your head. Let me break it down to you why the word precipitation is the one I use. Like, manna from heaven is not precipitation, sir.
Screaming.
I'm about to say, but you tried to, because you wanted precipitation to fit with the other P's that you have.
Hey, yo,
so, yeah, so, but I mean, I like a good demonstration every once in a while. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think there's a time and place for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just about that person's learning style, it's about what you're teaching.
Yeah.
Like, you could be down and out, and I could come to you with great knowledge, but your feelings don't care about these little facts I got.
I ain't trying to hear
I can quote you this scripture, and you're like, that's cute.
Yeah.
But, and in that moment, that same type of preacher that I don't love, that will get the people going.
Yeah.
You know, that might be helpful for that moment.
That opens them up to where they can receive. You know?
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, there was this one sermon, and I just want y'all to, like, just put yourself in the sanctuary. It's an Easter Sunday. We walk in and there's a casket.
Oh.
At the stage, I'm about to say, like, you know, and it's funny because we're like, man, like, the funeral today, like, you know, like, and he preaches this whole thing with the casket right there, and he's preaching like a eulogy on Jesus. And then, like, you know, he's like, you know, like, now this is the time for everybody to view the body, and they open up, they're like, oh, he's not in there?
No.
And when I say the people, when I say the people went up, like the people like they were like, oh, this is like this was like battle rap, like, you know, the crowd would have went crazy. Like, and I was just like, you know what? For somebody, this stuck like close to their heart, and they have now visualized Jesus not being in a tomb because of this effective but very production driven sermon. Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, to the point of, like, you know, like how people have preferences, I believe that these things can help. That's one of the sermons that I know for a fact I will never forget.
Exactly.
Even I was about to say,
it
you said
my preference.
You said it stuck for somebody. I was like, it stuck for you, bro. Right. I mean,
and you remember you stick are for somebody. Y'all won't be there. It's gonna stick for y'all too. So going back to what she was saying, she brought up sound bites.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, you know, because of social media, we live in a very sound bite driven ministries for somewhere. Like, now they preach, and I don't know how familiar you are with other preachers. But they preach, it almost feels like they're preaching for sound bites. Like you really had this really obscure statement that you knew was going to be the thing that was going to get the people going. And you use that as, like, you know, your platform or your launch pad for whatever the rest of your soundbite was. Do you feel like the church has become more soundbite driven than we are sound doctrine driven?
Ooh. That's a good question.
Because, I mean, like, I think gone are the days, well, I'm not going to say gone, but, like, you know, very few in between are there Miles Monroe's,
Dr. Hart
Ramsey's, yeah. I said, like, you know, what's another one? What's the guy that did his own commentary of the Bible? My God.
I really wish I could help you with this
name.
One.
But I feel like sound doctrine, unfortunately, has become, I don't want to say a lost art, but I feel like we are always trying to give people more than the scriptures. Like, I come from a place where, like, giving people Jesus was enough. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be fancy. It didn't have to be, like, you know, all this, like, you know, articulate. They would just preach the cross, and the cross was enough. Giving people Jesus was enough. But now I feel like we are at this place where we're trying to put, like, a lot of sprinkles on our sermons to make it sound good. And the more we try to make it sound good, the less it becomes good. So, like, I just wonder, like, do you have any experience with, like, you know, like, seeing things like that and be like, man, like, y'all doing too much?
Yeah, but that goes back to where we talked about, like, knowledge is power. Teaching is influence. If you're intended to inspire something in someone, then you have influence.
Yeah.
If you're doing it effectively, you have influence. And I think playing a little advocate for the other side, right? If my reason for wanting the soundbite is to draw people in so that they can learn what they need to learn, then to whatever extent, that's evangelism.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if it's the smallest extent.
Okay.
If I know that the people aren't going to be in the church and the only way that they're going to listen is with these soundbites, then I am doing what little effort I can to help disciple that person. If I'm doing it because I care to have the likes, that's where this gets dicey.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? If I'm doing effective teaching, you won't get these sound bites regardless.
Because it's going to help you remember.
Exactly. The, like where we just talked about, you know, the 5 D's of whatever, blah, blah. I listened to you talk about it, and quietly in my head, I was like, that's me. I'm a 5 D's person. And because at the end of this, I'm going to employ every tactic that I have to make sure that you walk away with this material and you don't just enjoy it in the moment that you sit with me.
Yeah.
And that's so good. If the soundbite is going to mean later on, really good teaching, you ever been in a workshop and then, like, as soon as you leave, you forget everything?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Really good teaching is going to ask you to recall it not long after. Maybe in like a day. Like, if you're in a good class, they're going to immediately circle back. That's why homework is effective.
Yeah.
Right? Is you circle back to the material so that it's not just for that moment. If the soundbite is the way that it draws that small thing back to your memory, I think soundbites can be very effective.
Yeah.
But just like in any other ministry, it's about what your motive is.
One thing that I find myself always having to be cautious of is teaching from a place of familiarity when it comes to God's word, because I think it's very easy to teach the same subject. Oh, you know, I've taught this before. And so because you kind of do it maybe regularly or you've touched on it once a year or something, that it's tempting to kind of just take the revelation that you already had and just keep regurgitating it. mm-hmm. without sitting with Holy Spirit and saying, you know, is there something else here?
Yeah.
Is there something, you know, else that you want to reveal to me? Because it is the living word, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that that is something dangerous. Have you experienced that? Do you see that at all?
All the time. All the time. I'm that. That's me. What you just described, that's me.
Listen.
Yes. Sis is me. Okay.
Yeah.
Sis is me. And I think just like with everything else, it's like there's two sides to this coin, mm-hmm. right? One side of this coin is the benefit of you teaching this thing over and over again is that you can circle back to these things that you've used over and over again. Yeah. And because you've tried them in different settings with different people, you've seen where it is or is not effective. Mm-hmm. And now you've built up this little arsenal of things that you can employ as you see fit. The problem is when you decided that arsenal is enough.
Yeah.
Because like there are a number of classes that I've taught a million times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the classes we've built together
mm-hmm.
at this point, I've taught this material so many times, I kind of already didn't even know where the discussion is going to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've mentally prepared myself. And some of that is the mark of a prepared teacher.
Okay.
So ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know, I think the problem is when you get to the point where you're like, okay, I've done this so many times, I could do it with my eyes closed,
mm-hmm.
is you are leaning on your strength instead of on Holy Spirit. And when you start trying to do ministry in your own strength, it ain't ministry anymore.
And because I know you kind of mentioned before, like the difference between cerebral teaching. Yeah.
Oh,
I can't talk right now. Speak on that.
So.
Because I feel like that's kind of where we're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teachers can be very cerebral
mm-hmm.
because our motive is to help people understand things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like once we understand it, we're like, box has been checked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now explain cerebral to the people that don't know what cerebral means.
Okay. And when I'm talking about being cerebral. What I'm really getting at is like, we gather all this knowledge
and then
it just sits up here.
Yeah.
I got you.
You know, if the idea is that this is ministry, like, okay, at work, I don't care if it all sits up here.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Do you know how to do your job? Powerful. See you later.
Yeah.
I hope you give me good reviews on my evaluation. That's all I care to hear.
Right.
Right. But when it comes to ministry, it's not enough for the knowledge to sit up here because people don't live from up here. They live from in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that as teachers, we are not just coming from what we know. We're coming from what Holy Spirit's put on the inside of us. We're coming from the experiences because he's like we just talked about. He's not wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just intentional about your gifts. He's intentional about your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, now, admittedly. Do we put ourselves in some situations
100%.
And we, yes,
no,
of course, of course.
But can he use it?
And will use it.
True. Yeah.
And that's why you cannot be a teacher if you're not a student.
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention to why these things matters, if you're not learning your life lessons.
Yeah.
As a result of whatever it is that you're experiencing, when you come to the table with this thing and if you don't sprinkle the Holy Spirit on that thing,
right.
If you're not doing that, is this not what we're talking about when we say dead works?
Because I wonder how many people teach occupationally, kind of like you were saying, mm-hmm. you know, I do this. And it's like, does it automatically just transfer into like ministry just because it's in a church setting? Or is it more of like a heart posture? Or like you say, you're inviting Holy Spirit. Does that make sense?
I think both.
Or is that like too broad?
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think when you do whatever it is, teaching or otherwise, when you do this occupationally, it mm-hmm. sharpens your skill.
Mm-hmm.
But how you deliver that thing that you're good at,
I think
that's where the Holy Spirit has to come in because the setting matters.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing this at work, I need Holy Spirit to live my life.
Yeah.
But I don't need Holy Spirit. I don't need to lean as heavily into this for the emotional part to teach people how to do their job.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when I come into this ministry space mm-hmm. and I know that the education that I'm giving people will shape how they live their lives,
mm-hmm.
not how they perform a task, but how they approach their thinking.
Yeah.
You can't do that without Holy Spirit. And I think it's easy to lean on your own understanding when you sharpen that skill so much in your day job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I was about to say, do you think that homework should be something that churches should be giving out? I was about to say, like, you know, I mean, like,
that just sounds so wild.
I mean, it does, but I mean, like, think about it. Like, you know, you learn to your point of being cerebral. I feel like we do a lot of teaching on Sundays.
Yeah.
And people retain it up here,
mm-hmm.
but they're almost waiting for a moment in time to come up where they can refer back to what they think they remember.
Yep.
But do you think that homework would be an effective way for the Saints to retain this information?
I'm not mad at it.
I mean, like, let's stop giving out homework. Mad at it.
I just can't.
Homework and projects in church. Like, bring your threefold board to church next Sunday, or we going to go over these.
That's hilarious.
And presentations. So instead of doing testimony service, now you're going to present your project of what you learned.
Wow.
I mean, like, I think that would be a really cool. I go to that church.
I'm legit not mad. I just.
Hands-on church.
Because I really could see it help retain the word, because I can't tell you how many times I've heard, myself included, you hear something, you get so excited on Sunday, and somebody asks you what you learned at church today, it's
the blank face.
Yeah. So don't try to ask me on Wednesday 2 days later, because I'm really just like,
I think do I think there should be homework assignments that you need to come back with a deliverable? Right. No. I don't.
Come on.
I don't. But to your point, I think what might be adequate, should any pastors decide that they want to do this, is ending with a reflection point. Because I might not remember all of the bullets.
Yeah.
Now, I might not be able to spit it back to you. But if you give me something to consider through the week,
yeah,
then when that thing happens, you've laid groundwork for me to refer back to.
That's real. I like that.
And if the idea is like I come to church on Sunday for a word for my living, then the reflection point makes me pull from my living to reflect back on the word that you've delivered.
That's good. That's good.
I still like homework.
I'm screaming.
I think homework is a really dope way to help people retain information. Because I went to a church with one guy who like, I'm going to preach the same thing because y'all didn't learn from last week.
Oh.
Like, I'm not going to keep preaching because he's like, I don't want to keep teaching y'all new material.
That's fair.
And y'all haven't learned the old material. So how do I ensure that you all are learning this thing? I can't obviously make you all do homework. So I'm just going to drill this information into you Sunday after Sunday. The same scriptures, the same doctrine, more revelation that we're going to unpack. But it's the same thing. And I feel like, you know, like that's just a really cool thing. I even saw this church on TikTok, I want to say, where they had tables instead of chairs and pews. So they all
taking
like
notes.
They pulled up to one of them little circle white tables that you like, you know, you gotta unfold the legs, and they were all pulled up to a table, like maybe like 7-8 chairs a table, and that was the sanctuary. It was like 8-9 of those tables, and people were coming there. You bring your highlighters, you bring your notepads, whatever case it is, and you're taking notes like it's a class. You still have praise and worship and everything. Church would be as normal until the sermon. Which I thought was
I'm not mad at that.
Really good, especially for the church that we go to. We could use some tables.
Okay.
So we could sit down and
me
take
and
some
my
notes.
iPad right. Just going.
So like I just think that that would be really cool. I about to say, so I advocate for projects and quizzes and tests. Today y'all not preaching, not we're gonna take a test.
Not a test.
I'm passing out the scantrons.
What you learned last week.
And so, turn your scantrons in.
Y'all said amen.
I have a very nerdy answer for this.
Okay.
Come on.
But there's something when you are measuring effectiveness, there's something called levels of Kirkpatrick. And the
I've
first,
heard of this.
Yes, you have. Thank you. I'm glad that you've retained
Please,
something
I've
taught
you. Those who don't know.
So when you're looking at these different levels, right? Level one is reaction, right? So when you ever like taking a workshop or whatever, and when they give you the surveys, like this was a helpful, good use of my time or something like that. Or I enjoyed this style of teaching. My teacher felt like they knew what they, reactions,
right?
Then when you get to level two, I'm testing knowledge, right? But level three, then four is when it gets good, right? Level three is behavior. So not only do you understand what you've learned, but you've applied it.
Yeah.
And there's evidence of it in your behavior. Then when you get to level four, it's return on investment. Right? And so like a lot of times in organizations, you're really trying to get to this level four. You might not get there.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but I want to see that whatever this learning solution that's been put in place is actually solving for something. It's worth something.
Yeah.
I want to see that there's return on my investment. And I would go so far to say as these levels of Kirkpatrick, I think that God cares about that return on investment. You sit in church every Sunday and you learn this, you learn that, you learn this, you learn that. But I don't necessarily want to know, did it stick? Did it change anything? What does this look like in your behavior? What does this look like when you step back into my house? Is it making it past you?
Wow.
Have you been equipped to impact someone outside of yourself? Are you a benefit to someone outside of yourself as a result of all the knowledge that you've just accumulated and stored up in your mental piggy bank?
That's good, Ash. That's good.
It puts everybody on notice to value what's being given to you.
Yeah.
Because if not, what's the point of going to church? Like, this is why I love, like,
maybe it's because it's free. You know, people don't value what is free. If they had to start charging to get into church, you might take some more notes.
That's the point. So we got homework.
No, we don't.
And we have a door charge. Like, hey, like, this is not your tithes and offerings now. I said, this is like, you want to take this class?
That's it.
You gotta pay per class. Y'all,
anyways,
I like this church so far. What is your, if you have one? And I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway. What is your favorite scripture about teaching?
Oh, about teaching?
Yes. Anything that you can recall about teaching. Why you think, I'll go with one that I know for a fact I love. One of my favorite scriptures about teaching, because I consider myself to be a teacher, is Ezra 7 and 10. And it speaks and says, like, you know, okay, it's because Ezra was determined to study and obey and then teach the doctrine to the people. I believe that there are three key elements to any teacher. And it's in that scripture of Ezra 7 and 10. It's study, obey, and teach. You cannot obey what you don't study. And you cannot teach what you do not obey.
You're right.
And I feel like there are times where we see people try to skip the process.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know what? Okay, cool. Now I'm going to teach what I haven't obeyed yet. I'm going to try to teach what I haven't studied.
Mm-hmm.
What I've learned in a moment, I'm going to try to teach it. And that becomes so dangerous.
Yes.
And this is why it reflects back to that other scripture of be careful to call yourself teachers.
That's it.
Knowing you'll be dealt with more harshly, because now you're teaching from a place not of submission,
mm-hmm.
but like you said, a spotlight. Because I just want to be seen in this moment. I'm going to teach something I don't even know all the details about, but I just want to teach it because it's going to make me look good.
Mm.
So Ezra 7 and 10 is my favorite scripture. It keeps me in line. And it makes me say, I can't teach this thing until I have submitted myself to the scriptures and really obeyed it, because that's where my conviction comes in. Mm-hmm. God's like, how can you teach something you ain't even obeying this yourself?
So it's not as much of do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly. I about to say, I want it to be a thing where, like, you know, I can go before any group of people and say, hey, not only have I lived this, but I have obeyed this word.
Yeah.
And I had the results to prove that obeying it is worth it. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't get necessarily what I want in a moment, even if I got to kill my flesh in a moment, God is pleased with my obedience.
Mm-hmm.
So I can teach you all this, but I can definitively say, because I'm not perfect, there've been plenty of things that I've taught on that I wasn't completely obeying. And then in doing so, way that conviction hits you,
like
it will keep you up at night. I about to say, so that's why that study, obey, teach, like, you know, is such a pivotal triangle that any teacher should always remain in the cycle of.
Yeah.
I'm always studying, I'm always obeying, therefore I'm always in position to teach.
That's good.
I didn't know if y'all had. Like I said, I'm not trying to, like, I don't know, like, go after that.
Wait to drop that bomb.
No, you're okay. I will say this. While this is, it's not speaking directly to teaching, I think that this is a very important scripture to lean on if you are a teacher.
Okay.
I'll say it like that.
Okay.
When the Bible talks about, where he says, I'll write your words on the tablet of my heart.
Mm.
I think that that's an important thing, not just because of what you just said about obedience.
Right. I was just going to sing. Write them on the tablets of your heart. You never heard the song? We've sung this song in church. She know the chorus. She don't know the verse.
Screwed.
But, right, so go ahead.
But the reason for that is, okay, when you consider how does the Lord speak to you, is you eat those words, you store them up here. When he's ready to say something, he's a very I said what I said God. He'll draw back up to your memory what it is that he wants to say. Right? Okay. That's not to say he can't say new things, but it's to say that the new things will always line up with the things he's already said.
Right.
And that's also how you're going to vet what those new things are.
Okay.
Right? If I'm a teacher, in a moment like this, where it's like, I need a scripture to lean on, because this is ministry to whatever extent. If you are not writing them on the tablet of your heart, what do you have to draw from? Right? So if the idea here is teachers are always students, I'm not the same way. I don't want my students to only learn in the moment. I want them to store it. I want them to retain it, take it with them.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that I'm retaining what I need to retain too.
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Hart said this once, and Dr. Hart, if you're watching, like, sorry for misquoting you if I misquote you, but he said, teaching is not about knowledge, it's about love.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And when it comes down to teaching and ministry, if you don't have that as the center of what you're doing, if you don't have that as your motive, how effective really could this be?
That's true. Yeah.
You know, and so when it comes down to, and the reason that this scripture is so important is because if I'm writing it on the tablet of my heart, I'm not writing it on the tablet of my brain.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Like, this has become meaningful to me so that I can help it become meaningful to you.
Mm. That's good.
That's really good.
That so, really is good.
All right. I got me a new Arsenal teacher scripture to put on my little bag. I'm about to say, you got one?
I just looked one up.
Okay.
Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that.
At all.
I know.
Use your resources.
Listen, because one I was thinking of, I couldn't think of. So I was like, eh. Anyways, I do like this one where it says, for the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's mm-hmm. Proverbs 2 and 6. And to me, that's kind of my basis, because I'm always asking God for wisdom, especially as I read his word. I'm asking for understanding mm-hmm. and for revelation, so that I'm not teaching from, I guess, my feelings, from my own finite understanding. Yeah. Like, I'm always going to ask the Lord, because I feel like if this is his word, he has to be the one to teach it to me. And give me understanding and all the things before I try to teach somebody else.
That's
so,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, because if you haven't learned it yourself, and you're teaching from going back to even an empty vessel, and you're not teaching from your overflow, from what you've applied and what you've learned in
for yourself.
Yeah.
Because right. How many people have regurgitated something that they've heard in a pulpit? God. And it's nowhere Ooh. In scripture.
My God.
Yes.
But my you've God. Taken it as your own thing, because you're not actually going to God to get your wisdom and knowledge.
That's heavy. Because yeah. we hear a lot of regurgitation
yeah.
from the pulpit, where it's like, that's not scripture at all. But because it's a thing that we've heard for generations.
Right.
We mm-hmm. ought to, like, because we did a podcast on church rhetoric mm-hmm. and things that we hear in church that aren't necessarily scripture. Mm-hmm. And again, we've heard these things taught, and I'm just like, man, that's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but because people aren't studied and they don't study for themselves, mm-hmm. people don't even know that what they're hearing is not necessarily
right.
real. Yeah. And they apply it. And the unfortunate thing, again, going back to being dealt with more harshly, now you have now crippled somebody to believe something that's not necessarily true, and they base their entire theology
yep. yes.
off of this empty philosophy that you've given them.
Or half-baked philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, faith without works is dead turns into God helps those who help themselves. No, I'm for real. And then where the idea could have been, you need to marry your faith with action, turns into, if you don't do it for yourself, then it yeah. ain't, you know? So
yeah.
Okay, so I have another thing, and then, like, you know, we can wrap up unless you got some more stuff. But my question is, how important is it to know your audience? So this yeah. is something that I actually just read in Mark 4, and it's really good. Like, it really blessed me. But Mark 4:11 says, this is Jesus saying, he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders." About say, and then there's another scripture in verse 34 where it says, in fact, in his as in Jesus, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we're going to model our teaching after anybody, it should be after Jesus,
for
because
sure.
he was the ultimate teacher. Mm-hmm. And the thing that Jesus teaches me through these scriptures is Jesus understood his audience
mm-hmm. yep.
and how to feed certain people.
Yep.
So how important do you think it is to know the audience in which you are teaching? Because being a teacher is not just about knowing the information,
mm-hmm.
but knowing who you're giving the information to.
Yeah. Extremely important. Like, at the foundation of all the things that are important, it's like, are you yielded to the Holy Spirit? Do you understand the topic? Do you know your audience?
Yeah.
In that order.
Yeah.
So I'd say, like, utmost important.
Right.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's like, example, we talked earlier about when it comes to adult learners,
mm-hmm.
they need to understand why this is important for their life. Kids don't need to understand that. They just need to understand what you told them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll figure it out. later.
Down the road. Mm-hmm.
Yes. If I am in the boardroom full of suits, I'm not going to approach this topic the same way that I would on the couch with you guys.
Right. Mm.
Right? I can be more casual. And some of that is because the delivery of knowledge comes with influence, because you're inspiring something in someone, even if you're not doing it in a ministry setting, because there's influence in imparting knowledge to people, it's important that the vessel is credible. Okay. If, okay, I'm not saying you have to fit a certain build.
Okay.
That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that if you care for the knowledge to stick, if you care for that understanding to stick, you have to be able to speak to who you're speaking to. Because, for example, my little brother, he's a grown man. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come to him with big words, because he's going to look at me like...
I do not have a dictionary on hand.
Okay? I'm not... And not even just because he won't understand them. He's a smart kid.
Yeah.
But who he's talking to...
Like, why are you talking? Why?
I seen you in your pajamas a second ago. Girl, right. Shut up. You know? And so it... Understanding who you're talking to so that you can deliver effectively is the most important thing. I can even give you, I could give you the same story, and then I could go to our church leadership with the same story. Actually, no, that's probably not a good example, because I really could come to them the same way.
Right.
And they'd be like, all right, fine. I could come to y'all one way, and then I can come to the executive leaders at my job.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I could come with the same exact story.
Yeah.
And understanding, like how we talked about, are you yielded to the Holy Spirit? And then how well do you know the topic? My topic could be the same.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding obviously would be the same.
Right.
I could come with the same approach and come with the same story. And if I don't understand my audience, my delivery is not going to be, it's not going to hit the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And so I think both in how you deliver it, how you design what it is that you're going to say, because where if I'm in the pulpit and I'm teaching a lesson from the pulpit in a room full of people who have come here to get knowledge for their life, or I'm in a classroom setting and I've come here full of people at tables with their notebooks and their pens ready to take notes, the way that I break down this idea here in this classroom setting is going to be different, because I want them to be able to follow in their notes.
Yeah.
Versus when I'm talking here, I'm going to probably come with more things that makes this feel relatable. Right. Because I know that you're here to adjust a feeling, whereas here you're coming to gain some understanding. And both come with both.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But your intent for showing up is going to be different. And so it's not even just at that point about what that person's learning preferences are, or, you know, what that person, like what place they're in their life. Even understanding why did they come.
Yes.
All of these things matter. So I think when it comes to, because like even with Jesus, all of these people are here. Right. I could break this down for you in a Jesus could break this down in a very cerebral way.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people who catch it and some people don't. But if he tells a story, he's leaning on that universal learning that says this is going to touch the widest audience.
Yeah.
And who catches it, catches it.
Mm-hmm.
And who doesn't, doesn't. But I've put it in a way that even if it doesn't hit you right now, you might understand it when you see it again later.
Yeah.
But for those people who are hanging on to his every word, and it's like, at the end of this, I know that you are going to call me to do something like, I don't know, establish the church, which they, I can't say they know that. But my point is this, Jesus knew what he was doing.
Yeah. Right.
And so at the end of that, I'm equipping these people different than I am equipping these people. Hmm. But it's because he knows his audience. It's important.
Be like Jesus.
Yeah,
be
like at the Jesus. End of the day, be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus and go to a church where there are projects, homework, and a cover charge to get inside to make sure that we value what we're learning. I love this. We should start church.
But this is the time where we kind of give you the floor to tell the people what they need to hear, whatever's on your heart.
Mm. The one thing that I would say is a helpful reminder for the people is... don't be afraid to expose yourself to new experience.
Mm.
Like where we have talked a lot about teachers are students first,
mm-hmm.
where we've talked a lot about that. I watched this documentary. I know, nerdy. But I watched this documentary that says, well, it was about creativity.
Okay.
And you know, like Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. I'm like, how is there nothing new under the sun?
And we're able to create. But we're
creative beings. So how does that function?
Yeah.
And when I watched this documentary, I think it was like, Explained or something on Netflix, They were talking about the way creativity in humans work is that you are able to create new connections between things you've exposed yourself to. So like in your dreams where you can't dream anything that you've not been exposed to, like you have a frame of reference for like a skating gorilla.
Okay.
You have a frame of reference for that because you've seen these things. You just put them together in a way that's not real. You've put them together in a new way because creativity functions like this where you make these new connections.
Oh.
The beautiful thing about exposing yourself in wisdom, wisdom, exposing yourself to new experiences is that the connections that you can make are, you have exponentially more possibilities.
That's good.
You know? And so, and I don't think that that's just for your life where I'm able to be a more creative being. You can take that into any aspect of your life, including being an effective teacher.
For sure. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Y'all heard it here first. Our SME, Ashley Lowe, we love you. We thank you for being here. I'm about to say, hopefully this is something that people can take something away and just be like, hey, like, I would now be a better teacher. This is for pastors, deacons, teachers, evangelists,
leaders, all the things.
Any type of teacher. I'm about to say, share this, man, because teachers need this. This is not a knock to anybody's church or anybody's leadership, but, you know, this, the Bible, we have proven that teachers need teachers. Mm-hmm. And we just appreciate you because, again, you've even empowered us to even be able to do our podcast and things differently. So thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You're awesome. Well, this has been another episode of Here's the Thing podcast. Be sure to like, share, subscribe on all platforms. Comment, get in the act in the comment section. Let us know what's going on. We appreciate y'all. And until next time.
Bye.